We have gathered together for a celebration that the Lord instituted for His remembrance. As I remind you many times, this is the only authorized celebration in the name of Jesus Christ. So He gave this with the sound purpose of remembrance. That's the basic theme of our celebration, remembrance. Because He said, do this in remembrance of me. So we are to remember what He did for us on the cross. We also have to remember that He made us a promise that He's coming back. And so He also promised to the disciples that there's going to be a celebration where all believers we celebrate our Lord one time. Meanwhile, we are called upon to get as a body to think about Jesus Christ all at one time. As I mentioned, there's the only time that you and I, as believers, can come together and think about Him simultaneously so that all our minds will all be focused on what Jesus did for us on the cross, who He is, that He's coming back. That's what you should be thinking about now. Think about everything. Shut out everything in your mind except those facts. That's the thing you should be contemplating on. The grace that showed that He showed, what He endured to pay for our sins. Now the scripture is very clear that it is not an ordinary celebration. Some people in Corinth took this celebration lightly. They went home and got sick. Some died. Now as recent as about 2 months ago, I was told of someone who came and tried to make a mockery of it in the local church that you support them in Nigeria. He went and nearly died. I had to call the young man that's the pastor. Say, I now believe what you said. It's not something you joke about. Now if it's an unbeliever, if you're an unbeliever, it doesn't mean anything. But if you're a believer, you cannot take it lightly. For that reason, the Bible warns us that anyone who does will be judged of the Lord. So to ensure that you're not being judged, the thing is that you prepare your soul ready to celebrate this great celebration. And you do so by examining yourself to ensure there's no nonsense that's unconfessed in your soul. When you do that, you'll be ready for the celebration. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that our Savior instituted this celebration so that we can think about Him, focus upon Him, to remember Him. We pray now that the Holy Spirit will enable us as we begin to celebrate that we will focus on Him. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen.
In the night, just before our Lord was betrayed, he took the bread after offering thanks. He said, "Eat, this represents my body." Again, Father, thank you for, as we continue to celebrate the cup, may God the Holy Spirit continue to focus our mind on your Son, Jesus Christ. This again is our request in Christ's name. Amen. In the same fashion, our Lord took the cup after offering thanks and says, "Drink from it, all of you." before the break and before the Lord's Supper, we were considering truths that we learn about Thanksgiving. And we had indicated that it requires the right spiritual condition, spiritual relationship, being filled of the Spirit. Secondly, we also learn that all thanksgiving must ultimately be addressed to God, because He is the ultimate source of blessings. Well, we have to be grateful to people that He uses by appreciating what they do or what they did. But ultimately, our mind must go back to God. So we give Him the thanks. Third, we also noted that there is a reason. There must always be a reason for thanksgiving. And we say we're going to expand on that, but before we do, that we need to bring your attention to the fact that thanksgiving is the will of God. And so that's what we'll begin to see from the Old Testament. And when I referred you to Leviticus chapter 7, verses 12 to 15, which is where we begin. He reads, "If he offers it as an expression of thankfulness, then along with thank offering, he is to offer cakes of bread made without yeast and mixed with oil, wafers made without yeast and spread with oil, and cakes of fine flour, well kneaded and mixed with oil, along with his fellowship offering of thanksgiving. He is to present an offering with cakes of bread made with yeast. He is to bring one of each kind as an offering, a contribution to the Lord. It belongs to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the fellowship offerings. The meat of his fellowship offering of thanksgiving must be eaten on the day it is offered. He must leave none of it till the morning." So here the Lord is making Israel aware that thanksgiving is an important part of his will. And he conveyed that to them through this ritual that they had to go through sacrificing and burnt offerings. Now it is because David recognized that thanksgiving is God's will that he included it as one of the main responsibilities of the Levites, as we can gather from 1 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 4. First Chronicles chapter 16 verse 4. He reads, "He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to make petition, to give thanks and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel." Of course, we know that it is God's will for us to be involved in thanksgiving because of the direct instruction of the Holy Spirit to us through the Apostle Paul in a passage we cited previously in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18, where it says, "Just again, give thanks in all circumstances, for it is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So be that then as you may, the top truth about thanksgiving that we're focusing is that it always has a reason. Always there has to be a reason for thanksgiving, as indicated in the phrase "for everything" in Ephesians 5 verse 20 that we're studying. Now the word "for" is what enables us to derive this third truth. Nonetheless, some interpreters render the Greek phrase as either "in behalf of all men," And I was give thanks in behalf of all men. Or they translate, give thanks everywhere. That's one of two ways they try to translate it. Now this, of course, is due to the Greek words used. Actually, the word for is translated from a Greek preposition that can be translated for, but with different senses. The word for can refer to a marker of a participant who is benefited by an event or whose on whose behalf an event takes place. So that it can be translated for or in behalf of or for the sake of. That's the way the Greek word can be translated that meaning. Now some interpreters adapt this meaning in their translation of the Greek phrase render for everything in the NIV, as we've already indicated to you. Now the Greek preposition can also be used as a marker of reason or cause. So it can be translated because or, I mean because of, or we can just say for. So it is in this second sense, because of, that it is used in our passage. Since that best fits the word everything associated with it as it relates to thanksgiving, so that we can assure that thanksgiving always has a reason. Of course, as we have also indicated, some commentators read the Greek word translated everything as a reference to all men when it says give thanks for all men. But this is possible because of the Greek word used. However, it is unlikely because we do not have anything in the apostles' epistles that will suggest thanksgiving for all people on this planet. Thanksgiving that the apostle practice is usually in behalf of believers. Now, so for this reason, we take the meaning everything as how the apostle intended for us to read the Greek word that he used. Not every man, but everything. Now the phrase for everything in Ephesians 5:20 is not only the basis of the taught truths that we are expounding, but it also tells us that the filling of the Spirit is important for thanksgiving to God, for that to occur. Now this is because the thanksgiving is to be carried out for all reasons and in all circumstances of life. Because that's what's implied in the word everything. See? The Holy Spirit did not say that we should give thanks for some things. He didn't say that. Because he said for everything. Not some things. Everything. Now, I submit to you that this is something impossible without the enablement of the Holy Spirit. And can anyone, honestly, be thankful when faced with painful experience of life without the enablement of the Holy Spirit? Can anyone do that? Let me put it in another way, in a more concrete manner. How many people do you know that can be thankful when they lose a loved one? How many do you know? It's not losing a loved one, a part of everything. It's just everything. How many people know that will do that? See, it's not normal, humanly, natural, for us to be thankful when we experience anything painful. That's not normal. That's not natural for us as a human. So when a person is able to truly offer thanks to God in spite of painful experience, it must be because the individual is enabled by the Holy Spirit to do so. Not what I'm saying, a power has to take over the person. It's not something you can do by yourself. That's, you know, like all these people who are under drugs. They do things they don't know. Sometimes they don't really know why they do that. Because
A power has taken over them.
Which, of course, is demonic activity, but they gave that entrance to demons to their soul because they allowed, they took something that will alter their thinking. Now, so, what I'm arguing is, it's not natural. No one will give thanks for losing a loved one. It's not going to happen. But you can do that if you are under the feeling of the Spirit. That can be done. That's my point. So when a person then is able truly to offer thanks to God in spite of or despite all painful experience, that must be because the Holy Spirit is in control. Now you take, for example, Job. Although there is no mention of the filling of the Spirit with respect to Job, but that's implied. For we read of him offering thanks or praising God in spite of all his loss of all his children one day and his property as well. As we read in Job chapter 1 verse 21. Job chapter 1 verse 21. Job chapter 1 verse 21 reads, and said, that's what Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will depart. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. I submit to you that he was under the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to say that. Because that's not natural. Now we can pretend about it, but none of us will do that on our power. If you did that, you must know that the Holy Spirit is taking over. So I'm going to make a point later. There's no human being that will do that. But under the enablement of the power of the Spirit, you can do that. Now the apostles, in the sense of praise God or really offer thanks, as indicated in their rejoicing, because they suffered for Jesus Christ, as stated in Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. It reads, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they have been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Now, of course, it's not stated that the apostles were filled of the Spirit at this point. But that's implied in that the joy they had is a facet of the fruit of the Spirit. And besides, this incident occurred after the special filling of the Spirit recorded in the fourth chapter of Acts in connection with the church. Thus then, we are correct to indicate that the apostles really were filled of the Spirit when they rejoiced as a result of their suffering for Christ. So, get my point. That it is the filling of the Spirit that will make it possible to be thankful to God in everything, even if it's not directly stated. So it is our argument that it is the filling of the Spirit that will make it possible to be thankful to God for everything. See, the word everything covers all experiences of life, good or bad. Now a person filled of the Spirit is one that will recognize that God is absolutely in control of everything that happens on this planet. What many Christians refuse to believe. They give Satan, in fact in many cases, they make Satan more powerful than God. Because they give him too much credit. Now, so really, it is the believer who recognizes truth of God being total in control of everything that will find it easy to be thankful to the Lord for all circumstances or events of this life. See, this means that filling of the Spirit, along with knowledge of truth, enables a believer to be thankful for everything, since such a believer will possess the knowledge that all events, good and bad, ultimately comes from God for his purpose, as conveyed in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. Now I know, like I say, we are humans who are filled with emotions. And sure enough, when we see a lot of things that are very discomforting, we react because of our emotion. But we don't really think through to say, there's a reason God is doing this. Many times we just don't know. Because what appears on the surface is not what it is. As I've said to you many times, there are things people did in the past, 10, 15 years, 30 years, and they thought they got away with it. God brings it back at the right time. Or they got to get judged about it at the right time. But people look at it and say, oh, that's terrible. Well, remember, that's why he's in control of all this. He has a purpose. You and I may not see it. It may make us feel uncomfortable, feel bad. That doesn't change the fact of what we're studying. Because he said, give thanks in all things, for everything. Now I'm saying, whether it's good or bad, it comes from him. Oh yeah, I know. Many Christians don't believe that. Anyway, let's look at Ecclesiastes 7 verse 14. He says, when times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider. In other words, you should do the same thing too. He said, but this is what he wants you to consider. God has made the one as well as the other. Good times, bad times, so all come from God. And many believers say, no, it don't. It comes from Satan. In other words, Satan is the creator. No, it comes from God. Good or bad. Now, our problem should usually be to find out, what is the Lord saying? What is he communicating? But, we as Christians, we're too shallow. We don't know enough of his word. We're led by emotions and things that we see and hear, instead of, what does the scripture say about this God we serve? That's the way you look at every event that you see that happens. Don't go up and down by, following the rest of the people who know nothing about what we're talking now. I mean, we're in a secret meeting. Because some think they were a cult. Because they didn't understand. Christianity, in a sense, will become a cult if we are taught the way we're supposed to. In a sense, this way. That we know secrets that the rest of the world don't know. So that's what Christians, we have a secret the world doesn't know anything about. What I've just told you, many Christians don't even know it, let alone unbelievers. To their mind, God has nothing to do with anything bad that happens on this planet. Nothing. It's from the devil. All is from the devil. God has nothing to do with it. Read that passage again. Anyway. So anyway, without the filling of the Spirit and knowledge of truth, it is difficult to be thankful to God because of everything. It's easy, as we all know, to be thankful for that which is pleasant. But it is difficult to do so when faced with unpleasant circumstances. We don't know how to do that. Naturally, we can do that. That's what we're saying. We're studying what results from the filling of the Spirit. And now, I mean, anyone who is honest, none of us can do that. If things are horrible, our first thing is, you know, some, well, let's know a little more, less about God, they start blaming Him. Forgetting the fact they don't have the right to blame Him anyway, but they start doing that. But if you know the truth, no matter how unpleasant it is, your mind should go first to offer thanks to the Lord and say, thank you, Father, even though I don't understand it. That's the way faith functions. Thank you, Father, I don't understand it. But you said, I thank you. Which means I know you're doing something, I just don't understand it. Now help me to understand it. Now that'd be a good prayer to pray. So anyway, my thing then is, if a person will indeed be thankful when faced with unpleasant circumstances of life, then that individual will have to be filled of the Spirit. Hence, we can understand that being thankful in everything is that which results from the filling of the Holy Spirit, since it is not natural for us to be thankful when we face unpleasant circumstances of life. So, there is then a sense that our response to unpleasant circumstances becomes a test for the filling of the Spirit. So these are what we're studying. I'm saying, none of us will keep looking, how do I know I'm filled of the Spirit? Here's one of it. If you face a terrible situation, and here comes true thanksgiving, then you know you're filled with the Spirit. Filled of the Spirit. Because there's no way you can do that natural. So there is then a sense that our response to the unpleasant circumstance becomes a test for the filling of the Spirit. By this we mean this. If you can truly be thankful to the Lord when you face a very unpleasant circumstance or situation in your life, then you can be certain you are filled of the Spirit. Because no natural person can do that. There's no natural human being that can look at the face of something ugly, painful, and say, thank you, God. Can do that. That's what I'm arguing. Only if you're filled of the Spirit. When if you see that happen, you know at that instant you're filled of the Spirit. Now, it is possible for people to fake being thankful before other people. But it's impossible to fake through thanksgiving to God, since He knows our state of soul. We can cover it all to people. We know with Him. When a person is truly thankful in painful situation, then it is because the Holy Spirit operates in that individual to bring about such thanksgiving to the Lord. Therefore, we insist then that true thanksgiving to the Lord in everything requires the filling of the Spirit. The assertion that true thanksgiving to the Lord requires the filling of the Spirit is not only evident when faced with unpleasant circumstances of life, but also in the kind of things for which the believer is thankful. It's not just that you face an unpleasant circumstance and you're thankful, but look at other kind of things that you're thankful in your life. That will show you whether you're filled of the Spirit too. Now the kinds of things we offer thanks to God that are associated with the filling of the Spirit and the knowledge of truth are primarily spiritual in nature. Now this does not mean that we do not offer thanks for things material, but that the dominant reasons for offering thanks to God that will be indicative of the filling of the Spirit are usually spiritual. we are certainly required to give thanks to God before food, as by the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he fed several thousands of people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish that we saw in John 6 verse 11. Now the Apostle Paul followed the Lord's example in that he also offered thanks to God before his food in presence of people in Acts chapter 27 verse 35. Acts 27, verse 35. It reads, after he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. Now this notwithstanding, that we contend that the kinds of things we offer thanks to God that are indicative of the filling of the Spirit are primarily spiritual in nature. Now, a kind of thanksgiving to God that is spiritual in nature, that is, will be that due to his character. Thus, the psalmist indicates that his thanksgiving is because of God's righteousness. Remember the point where the main point is that there has to be a reason for thanksgiving. So here the psalmist says, his is due to God's character. In Psalms chapter 7, verse 17. Psalms seven verse 17 reads, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness, and we sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. See his reason? God's character, righteousness. It's also God's character that's also the reason for the thanksgiving enjoined in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 11. Jeremiah It reads, the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for, look at that, the Lord is good. His love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. But the issue here, thanksgiving because of God's character, his good. His love endures forever. Now, another kind of thanksgiving that is spiritual in nature, that is certainly related to the filling of the Spirit, is that due to God's spiritual blessings. Thus, Daniel thanked God and praised the Lord for his spiritual blessing of wisdom and power in Daniel chapter 2, verse 23. Daniel chapter 2 verse 23 reads, I thank and praise you, O God of my father. Here is his reason. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. So he thanked God for his spiritual blessing. The Apostle Paul thanked the Lord for his grace towards the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 4 and 5. It reads, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking, in all your knowledge. So he's thanking God for what he's done with the Corinthians. The same apostle offered thanks to the Lord for the election and subsequent salvation of the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13 reads, but we ought always, it's one of the reasons I say you shouldn't offer any prayer personal. I'm not talking about public prayer. Most Christians don't understand anything about public prayer. Private prayer I'm talking about. You shouldn't do that without doing what the apostle did here. So we ought to always thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. That is to say, there's no way you should ever pray personal prayer where you spend some time without being thankful for your salvation, for the election, for your election. Because that's part of what your salvation entails. So you should also thank God then for your spiritual blessings that involve whatever his spiritual blessings that come to you. Moreover, though, there are other reasons that you should give thanks to the Lord that are spiritual in nature. You should thank God for believers who show interest in the Word of God. Now, you thank God that there are believers that you know they show interest in the Word of God. Thank God for them. The Apostle Paul thanked God because of those who were enthusiastic of meeting him as one of and those who teach the truth, as we can gather from Acts chapter 28 verse 15. Acts chapter 28 verse 15. He reads, the brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the forum of Appius and the three taverns to meet us. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. Just knowing that there are people who will travel some distance just to come meet a man who is going to expand the word of God was so encouraging. It should be something you thank God about. So you thank God for believers, you know that. The apostle also thanked God for the response then of the Thessalonians to the word of God. Now he thought in the passage we cited previously, that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. You already have it down, so I'm not going to really write. Just quickly read it. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you have from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. So you should thank God for believers who are doing well spiritually. Now, such thanksgiving to God is certainly spiritual in nature. It is this kind of thing that the Apostle Paul did, certainly, under the filling of the Spirit, when he thanked God for the faith of the Colossians and their love for one another in Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. In other words, as we read this, you should be thankful for everyone in this congregation, especially those you know that really they have interest in learning the word or show interest in it. You should be very thankful because there are not too many congregations that where you find that. Colossians 1, verse 3 and 4 says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in the Lord, in Christ Jesus, and of the love you have for all the saints." That's why he was thanking God for them. Now, similarly, he thanked God for the fact that the Thessalonians were also growing in their faith, which implies that they were learning more of the Word of God and were trusting the Lord Jesus Christ more and more. As in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Now, all this, all what I'm reading here, and all these things is something that, for the most part, for the majority, that is what is applicable to this congregation. And it's a very unique congregation in the sense there are people who are really, they want to know about the word. I have a friend of mine that we just, you know, just had a conversation this week. He just said he retired from pastoring after 5.5 years in Texas. And I said, "Whoa, why?" I mean, it comes under people don't, they want to, you know, he started coming out of seminary, he tried to teach for about 40 minutes, they say it's too long. And then he cut it down and they still don't like it. So he finally said, "I gave it up." I said one thing, I said, "Well, I thank God for one thing, my congregation can sit two hours." There are, I can assure you, you find maybe one in 1,000 local churches that you have believers ready to do what you're doing here. For that reason, I thank God for you too. Now, so that's the thing that the apostle is talking about. Because he knew there are so many who are wondering, not interested. They give a facade that they are interested in the word of God, but they are really not. Because it's part of the, you know, the actual text. Can you sit down and listen to it without your mind going this way and that way? And itching to go out here? Which many of them do. But anyway, look at what the apostle says. "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers. And rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing." Of course, in addition to this, you should be able to thank God for answered prayers. Because that's something spiritual. You know, some of you have many answered prayers. So you should be very in a position to thank God continually for answered prayers. This is what Paul himself did with respect to the Corinthians, in the passage I'm not going to read, really, but if you want, just go and jot it down, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. So the point is that the kind of things for which you thank God should reflect your spiritual life, and consequently, whether you are filled of the Spirit or not. In any event, the thought truth we learn about thanksgiving is that it always has a reason. A fourth truth we learn with respect to thanksgiving, especially as it is related to the filling of the Spirit, is that it is carried out through the person of Jesus Christ. It's to be carried out through the person of Jesus Christ. It is this truth that is given in the last phrase of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20 when it says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this phrase is subject to many different interpretations because of the preposition in the Greek and the word name. Now the preposition in is translated from a Greek preposition with several usages. In our passage, there are at least four usages that are possible. It could be used as a marker of means so that the phrase that we're considering could be translated through the name of Jesus Christ. Another usage is as a marker of cause so that the phrase could be translated because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another usage of the Greek preposition is as a marker of location so that the phrase in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ suggests that thanksgiving is to be offered in union with Christ or in the sphere of the Lord Jesus Christ. Still though, another usage is as a marker of showing attendant circumstances and so may be translated with or while at the same time. Now this usage would mean that a thanksgiving is to be made with the mentioning of the name of Jesus Christ. Now each of these four interpretations are possible. So to narrow down which the Holy Spirit put in the mind of the apostle that we're trying to reach at, let me look at the next word, name. Let's just look at the word name first. Now the word name is translated from a Greek word that can refer to authority or power associated with a person. It is in the sense of authority that the Greek word onoma is used by Jesus Christ in connection with his miracle recorded in John chapter 10 verse 25. John chapter 10 verse 25. It reads, Jesus answered, I tell you, but you do not believe me, the miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. See, that phrase, in my Father's name, refers to the Father's authority or even what the Father commanded, which again refers to the authority of the Father. So it is in the sense of the authority or power of a person mentioned that the Apostle Peter used our word in his healing recorded as we can see in Acts chapter 3 verse 6. Acts chapter 3 verse 6 reads, then Peter says, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. See, that phrase, in the name of Jesus Christ, could refer to the authority of Jesus Christ as granted the apostle, so that Peter meant that because of the authority Jesus gave him, that the man should walk. Now, our Greek word refers to proper name of an entity, as the apostle Paul himself used it to describe his fellow workers whose names are in the book of life in Philippians chapter 4 verse 3. Philippians chapter 4 verse 3 reads, yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, Help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. So here, he's using the name, proper name. Now, like Clement and so on, and the names of these are individuals. Now, the Greek word could also mean a person, as it is used in Revelation chapter 3, verse 4. Revelation chapter 3, verse 4. Revelation chapter 3, verse 4 reads, "Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy." Now, the phrase "a few people" is more literally from the Greek, "a few names." A few names. Now, in our context of Ephesians 5, verse 20, the word means either name or person. Since there is nothing in the context that suggests Jesus' authority or command is the concern of the thanksgiving. So we have examined then the two key words in the phrase "in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so the problem we face is how to interpret it, considering the various possible meanings of the Greek words we have examined. Now, there are many possible interpretations, but it seems to us that the apostle is saying either that thanksgiving should be given because of the person of Jesus Christ, or that thanksgiving should be given through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the first interpretation of "because" makes sense, in that it is because of the work of Christ that believers are in a position to offer thanks to God. In effect, it can be said that believers should offer thanks to God the Father because of Jesus Christ, who has made salvation possible. That's possible. That makes sense. Now, this notwithstanding, though, it seems to us that it is the second interpretation that the apostle had in mind that has to do with who. In effect, our thanksgiving then should be made to God the Father through Jesus Christ, who is our mediator. Now, the reason for this interpretation is that it is the meaning that is reflected elsewhere, where the apostle associates thanksgiving with Jesus Christ, and we're referring to Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Romans chapter 1, verse 8 reads, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world." Now, the apostle used here a different Greek preposition than the one used in Ephesians 5, verse 20. But passages concerning the thanksgiving to God the Father is something that we know that based on this particular passage in Romans, and even though we have a different Greek prepositions, but we do know that the apostle meant true in the sense of what we are looking in the passage. Now, in this passage in Romans, though, the preposition the apostle used has the meaning "through," which in the context of thanksgiving in Romans should be understood as conveying that Jesus is the intermediary of thanksgiving. Furthermore, it is the same Greek preposition used in Romans that is used in a parallel passage to Ephesians 5 verse 20, where thanksgiving is a concern, and that is also to Christ in Colossians 3 verse 17. Colossians 3 verse 17. It reads, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him, Lord Jesus Christ." So based on these passages, now we believe the thanksgiving that is a result of the filling of the Spirit is one that can only be given through the person of Jesus Christ. He is our mediator that has made it possible for us to offer thanks to God the Father. In effect, anyone that is not in Christ could not possibly give thanks to God. So anyway, it should be clear that true thanksgiving to God requires being in Christ and being filled of the Spirit. Therefore, strive to be filled of the Spirit constantly so that you will always be thankful to the Lord. If you are filled of the Spirit, you will manifest continuous thanksgiving to the Lord. And that's what I've given you, are facts that will help you one more way of deciphering if you are filled of the Spirit or not. Let's pray. As we end our study this morning, there may be someone here or someone listening on the internet. We want you to know, if you do not have life yet, that God loves you. He is not something that He just says. He demonstrated it by Him really coming, God coming through to this planet in the person of Jesus Christ. Born to a virgin woman, He lived perfectly because He couldn't do anything because He's God. But in the end, He was taken, arrested, and put on that cross. While on that cross, He looked at those crucifying Him. And he's out of His compassion, say, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." In other words, that's a prayer. Your life has been messed up. You have been going in the right direction. He's saying, "God, forgive you. You didn't know what you've been doing." Now, here's the offer He's giving you. Because once He died on that cross, He paid for all your sins. Regardless of whatever they are, He now gives you the invitation, come. And He's going to wipe you clean. And that way, you come by word of faith. That's why the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Believe what the Bible against it. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Believing in Him, you have life through His name. If you trust Him, you will receive eternal life. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of Your Word. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us to begin to become aware of the necessity of being very thankful to You. And the necessity to strive to be under the filling of the Spirit, so we can indeed do that. This is a request in Christ's name.